Welcome to the Cleveland Browns exclusive fan forum conference call for all Browns season ticket holders, club level members, and suite members. I'm Mike Snyder from WTAM and the Cleveland Browns Radio Network, and we are live from the Dino Lucarelli Media Center here at Browns Training Facility in Berea. Over the next hour, we're going to hear from Browns President Mike Holmgren, General Manager Tom Heckert, and we'll also hear from you. And really, this will be your chance to talk to both Tom and Mike throughout this afternoon. Now, this is an interactive forum for Browns season ticket holders, club level members, suite members, for you to ask questions for Mike Holmgren and Tom Heckert. If you want to ask a question at any time over the next hour, all you've got to do is press *3. That's *3. If you have a question that you want to ask Mike or Tom, that is the way to do it. You can do that right now to get online. And also, if you have any questions about your account at any time, you can press *0 and you will be connected to a Browns guest relations representative. Now, a reminder to all, and I know we're going to talk a lot about the draft coming up, because it certainly is the talk of the town. The Browns annual draft party at Cleveland Browns Stadium is Thursday, April 26th. Admission is free, and more details are going to be coming on clevelandbrowns.com later this week. Now, again, if you want to ask a question at any time over the next hour for Mike or Tom, press *3 and we will get to you. We're going to try to get to as many calls as we can over the next hour, and well, we're ready to go. Mike, good to see you. How you doing today?
Pretty good, Mike. How's it going?
I'm doing fine. Here we are talking so much football. Tom, good to see you. How are you doing today?
Doing good. Thanks.
This is Mike, we were talking, the off season in the NFL now is really not an off season. It's just an ongoing thing. People talking about the draft, the free agency, and all of that. It really is year-round, isn't it?
There's a lot of excitement, Mike, and it's really different than it used to be 20 years ago, you know, because there was an off season. There was a time for most people in the organization, fans, anybody, to catch your breath and get away from it a little bit and just kind of recharge the batteries, if you will. And now it seems as though as soon as the season is over, you know, we're rolling up our sleeves and going to work. I know Tom and the scouts and the personnel people, they're doing it year-round, but when the season's over, they really kick it into gear.
And, Tom, I guess a lot of that, as Mike says, year-round, you're constantly evaluating players, aren't you, in the league and then in college and so forth, so that you can hit the ground running when you get to this time of year.
Yeah, definitely. You know, that's what, you know, our job is. You know, during the season, we're you know, concentrating really on the pro guys first, because we know that's when free agency is the first thing that happens in the offseason, and as well as getting ready for the draft. So, yeah, it's a long process, but it's a fun time.
Mike, as this is your third off season. Last year was such a crazy year. There really wasn't an off season. What's kind of your feel as you have Brown season ticket holders listening to you right now? Well, what's the message you'd like to convey to them about the direction of the team today?
Well, I'm very pleased with the direction. This is an exciting off season for us for a couple of reasons. One, we have the players able to come in for mini camps. We didn't have that luxury last year with a new head coach and Pat Shurmur and a young team. So we have that. And I know our coaches and everyone is very excited about preparing properly prior to the start of training camp. And we didn't have that last year. The second thing is we are really positioned well in this year's draft. You know, Tom did a beautiful job in that trade with Atlanta last year to give us the extra picks. We have those two picks in the first round. And so we have ways to go here, and right now we're strategizing on how to make the team better. But and it's important, Mike. Listen, I said it in another press conference around here. Very important that we take the next step this next year. It's, you know, we've got the new coach, we've got a young quarterback, we've been through the tough growing pains. We lost a lot of close games last year. Now we must take the next step, and that's what I'm looking forward to this season.
Mike, is there a way, I think, for fans, they always want to fast forward, and it's tough going through this. That last year was a tough year. It had to be agonizing for you, especially the way the offense struggled.
Yeah, I mean, we played pretty good defense, and our special teams were okay. But offensively, we weren't nearly as productive as we could have been or should have been, in my opinion. The effort was there, but our execution, you know, wasn't the greatest all the time. So that clearly is an area of the football team that we have emphasized this off season. We'll continue to do it. I expect it to be better. We should be better. And so everyone's kind of on notice, And I've had that conversation with a number of people.
Star 3 is all you've got to do if you have a question for Mike Holmgren or Tom Heckert. Tom, we are into the free agency period right now. You said recently that it wouldn't be a priority for the Browns, but your thoughts about that in terms of players you're targeting and so forth. I know there's a flurry the first day or two. Where does that end, and where does it just become all a draft?
Well, you know, I think it's a kind of a little misleading when you say it's not a priority. It's part of the process, and you know, we did sign Frosty Rucker yesterday, who we think is going to come in here and help our defensive line, which we think is you know, we have obviously with the three fairly young guys, you know, the two rookies and Ruben still young, so you bring Frosty into that group, and I think you have four pretty good players. So I think he adds to our defense, who, like Coach Holmgren said, where we played fairly well last year on defense, so this should help us. But, you know, we've said all along, and I think it's philosophy of the Browns organization, where we know the way to get good and continue to be good, not just get, you know, maybe win 8 games 1 year and then go back to being, you know, having 3 wins the next year. That's not what we want to do. We want to try to build this thing the right way, where we are good and we can compete every year to get in the playoffs and then eventually get to the Super Bowl. So, you know, that's the way to do that is through the draft, and that's where we're going to spend most of our resources.
You know, Tom, when I recall a year ago and we did this same type of show, a lot of questions were about the defensive line, and obviously you addressed that with Taylor and Sheard, and boy, they both really delivered, didn't they?
They really did. You know, I think they both had, for being rookies and playing as much as they, you know, unfortunately, we didn't have the greatest depth there at that position, so they played a lot. You know, they were especially, you know, Jabal played almost 90-some percent, and you know, Phil played a lot as well. But for rookies and the long season and staying healthy, knock on wood, they really did a good job for us.
All right, Star 3 is the way you can get on board and ask a question of Tom Heckert or Mike Holmgren. We're going to go to Fred from Gates Mills. Fred, a season ticket holder since 2007. Fred, go ahead. You have a question for Mike or Tom.
Hi, Mike and Tom. You know, as we have headed into the free agency periods in past years, I know that we've always talked about doing that on a selective basis and not plunging in deeply, but this year more than almost any, I think we all were looking toward wide receivers as something that we were sorely lacking last year, at least top line wide receivers, and that seemed to be a real strength of this free agent class with guys like Pierre Garçon and Vincent Jackson and Brandon Marshall and Robert Meacham, and there were a ton of guys out there that were available, yet we never seemed to be able to pick up any of those guys. I love Tom Heckert's draft strategy and history, and I think it's great, but don't we at some point have to get active in this and pick up some of these people? We can't keep going year after year and doing it only through the draft. I think you have to assiduously get free agents to build a team.
Well, you know, there's a couple, couple answers to that. First of all, you know, when I said we're not going to be, you know, real big players, that doesn't mean we weren't going to attempt to sign players. And, you know, I think you mentioned, I don't know how many receivers you mentioned, 4 maybe, and there's 32 teams. So, you know, it's not always a situation where you can just, you know, hey, we'd love to have a lot of players out there. And, you know, it's a little easier said than done. So I think there's a point where we know we have our needs and what our priorities are in to fill, whether it's through free agency or the draft. And, you know, we do have a lot of draft choices, and free agency is not over yet. You know, we hope to add, you know, at least another player here somewhere down the line. And the way free agency works is obviously the teams that sign some of these higher-priced guys, they usually end up cutting players. And that's really another wave of the offseason where, you know, we will be looking. There's been a few kind of big-name players that I'm sure you've read about that have been released by their teams. And though that will continue all the way through the offseason. So those are the guys that we'll have to, as they get released, we'll take a look at them. So, you know, that to say we're not going to add any more players through the offseason, you know, hopefully we can, but we still have the 9 or 10 picks, hopefully, in the draft to add to that.
Star 3 is the way you can get on for a question for Tom Heckert or Mike Holmgren. And our poll question this afternoon, have you renewed your season tickets yet? Press 1 for yes. Press 2 for no, press 3 for haven't yet but plan to, press 4 for Don't Plan To. That's the poll question number one. If you want to do that to participate and to ask questions, just go to star three as Dustin from Boise, Idaho, a 7-year season ticket holder from the Boise Browns backers. You're the president. Dustin, you're on with Mike Holmgren and Tom Heckert. Go ahead.
Yeah, question. As we've all watched this free agency frenzy kind of take off and where it's went, the question I had is, I know we've always looked at trying to upgrade the quarterback position at some point. Are you guys still pursuing looking at another team's quarterback, or are we strictly going to, as you said, follow through with our draft and look for, as you talk about, maybe draft a quarterback once a year just to bring him in and for competition?
Well, Dustin, this is Mike. First of all, thank you for being living in Boise, and if I understood it correctly, and being a great and being a great backer of the Browns, I appreciate that. As far as the quarterback position goes, our philosophy, we were just talking about it today, as a matter of fact, Tom and I, and our philosophy is not going to change very much from year to year. You know, we will be committed to whoever's playing with us at the particular time he's playing with us. That's one thing. We will always look for a young guy in the draft. Now, where we pick him, it could be later in the draft. I had some success doing that in Green Bay and Seattle with Matt Hasselbeck as an example and Mark Brunell as another example late in the draft. And bring that person along, look at him, see if you can train him to fit into your offense. And then, I tell you what, if there's someone in free agency that's very, very attractive to us, yeah, we'll talk to him. We'll bring him in and talk to him, always. Now, I will tell you this, in all honesty, we are not bringing in Peyton Manning. Just so, if you were thinking along those lines, we're not going to get involved in that thing.
You hear that, Dustin? He's not going to walk in. Thank you for the call. So Peyton's not coming in here. I guess one thing before we go to the next caller, guys, that this free agency wave this week, it is something that there's not really an end date on this, is there, Tom?
No, there's really not. You know, and I think it's most years it's the same way where the first week is crazy. I mean, it's hectic. Guys signing all over the place, and then there's a lull, and guys start, you know, a few guys sign here and there, and then, you know, even right before the draft in April, there'll be guys signed, you know, and then obviously right after the draft, if you don't feel your knees in the draft, there's still some guys available, then you start talking to them. So, yeah, you're right. There is a never-ending end to the whole thing.
All right, let's star three for your question for Mike Holmgren or Tom Heckert. We go to Jim, a season ticket holder since 1999. Jim, go ahead.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good,
Jim. Thanks for having this. My question involves the offensive line, actually. Now that you've cut ties with Eric Steinbach and re-signed John Greco, do you feel that you've solidified the line or that Mr. Greco is going to step into that spot? And what are your plans to fill the guard spot going forward through free agency and or the draft?
Well, we think we're pretty good at the guard spot. Obviously, you know, with we had, you know, Jason Pinkston, who started all 16 games at left guard, and Sean Laval, who started all 16 games at right guard. So hopefully those guys can improve and become even better than what they played last year. John is going to be a guy that's going to come in and compete with those guys. And, you know, John has played right tackle. He's played left tackle. He's played center. So, John's going to get a chance to compete with those guys at all the positions. So, we really haven't set in stone where John's going to end up. And I think that's going to kind of depend on what happens during the preseason and how John plays and how the whole thing shakes out. But right now we think we have a good, young, talented group. Do we need to add to that? Definitely, and we will do that before this whole thing's over.
Anything else, Jim? And star three is the way you can get on board to talk to Tom Heckert and Mike Holmgren. And our poll question number one, have you renewed your season tickets yet? Press one for yes, two for no, three for haven't yet but plan to. Press four for don't plan to. We go now to Sean from Columbus, a season ticket holder for 12 years. Sean, you have a question for Mike Holmgren or Tom Heckert?
Hey, thanks for having me, Mike and Tom. Quick question about the Peyton Hillis deal. I know you guys had some dealings before with Kansas City and going with Romeo, but why did we not match the offer when it seemed like Peyton Hillis was our primary threat on offense that teams had to prepare for throughout the week?
Well, you know, I think, first of all, I was happy for Peyton because Kansas City did step up and sign him. I think there comes a time in some players' lives and club's lives where a fresh start is probably the best thing for both sides. We love Peyton Hillis, and we went through a contract thing with him last year where he was disappointed. We couldn't agree to terms, and then, of course, the injury bug hit him, which happens sometimes, and it just was too bad. And then that kind of broke in the newspapers, and it gained a momentum that probably wasn't fair to the young man. But, you know, we had set goals for this team this year, and we have – there are also economic situations to deal with. And a lot of times if the player and the organization can't agree, that happens in this business. And then the player goes on to a new spot, and that's what happened with Peyton. I wish him well. I'm a Peyton Hillis fan, and he was great for us 2 years ago, and I'm sure, you know, he'll be a fine player for Kansas City. But having said that, now we have to adjust and move on from that point.
All right, Sean. Tom, just kind of following up with your feelings about the running back core now with Peyton now gone, what are your thoughts about that department?
Well, you know, I think it's we're kind of where we were a little bit last year. And if you had removed Peyton from the situation and you had Brandon Jackson, who's coming back off injury, we're kind of where we were last year, throughout the year. So, Brandon Jackson is a kid that we obviously like. You know, he was one of the guys that we targeted in free agency last year. Everybody said we didn't sign anybody last year in free agency. He was the guy we signed right off the bat, and he was the leading rusher on a Super Bowl team. So, we're excited to get him back. And then we obviously have, Obi who played well for us when he had the chance. And then Monterio, he'll be back for a full year from his injury. So we're excited about the backs we have. And, obviously they have to stay healthy and prove that they can stay that way. But we're excited about it.
We go now to John, who is from Canada. He's been a season ticket holder, as he puts it, for many years. He actually stole his seats out of the old stadium. Is that right, John?
You're right, and I have it with the last ticket, and it's hanging with my different Browns posters.
Is that, there you go. All right. We have a question for Mike Holmgren or Tom Heckert.
It doesn't matter. I just want to know if they would trade their fourth to two lesser picks somewhere down into the 15 to 30, and the reason for that is we need to – before we go for a quarterback again, because we ruined Couch's career, and McCoy could do all right for us. And therefore, we don't have high-cost rookies, and therefore, we have more money under the cap to get plug-in holes in free agencies.
You know, John, this is Mike. Your thinking is valid. I think last year when we had, I forget it was sixth or seventh pick, sixth pick in the draft, and Tom approached me with a trade to move out of there so we could pick up picks from Atlanta. We did that. Now, I don't think if he approaches me that with the same sort of idea this year, I'd kind of discourage him. I think at the fourth pick in the draft, if we choose to use it, I think there are a number of players that can come in here and we target them as starters. We have 4 and 22 in the first round. And your idea of filling gaps in a lot of areas and letting our quarterback play but use the picks that other way, I think is very valid. And I think that's one of the things we're talking about doing.
Thank you for the call, John Star 3. If you'd like to ask a question of Mike Holmgren or Tom Heckert, one thing, Mike, just to talk a little bit, you have a new offensive coordinator in Brad Childress. How do you feel about that work, about Brad working with Pat, and how much of an impact that'll help in improving the offense?
Well, I'm very excited about it. I think I've known Brad Childress for a long time, and he's an outstanding football coach and a great person. And, he and Pat worked together for a long time in Philadelphia. The roles were reversed just a little bit. And quite honestly, one of the things I talked to both of them about was now that we're going where Pat's the head coach and Brad's the coordinator, does this work for us? Because if they said no, it wouldn't make any sense. But I was assured by both of them that it would work. And they're both really good guys, and they're friends. And they know how each one balances off the other and helps the other. So it's going to work fine. And the other thing it'll do, Mike, is all the things on Pat's plate. You know, as a first-time head coach, you think you know everything that's coming around the corner, but you really don't. And so, but he learned it last year now. He learned.
He saw a lot of things last year, didn't he?
Yeah, he learned it last year. Now having Brad in the building, who has been a head coach, not only that, but a very successful offensive coordinator, it just has to help Pat Shurmur in all the other things he has to do in his head coaching responsibilities.
All right, we go to Chris from Canton, season ticket holder since 1999. Chris, do you have a question for Mike Holmgren or Tom Heckert?
You know what? Either one of them can address the question. Being down here from Canton, it's obvious we got a lot of Steeler fans down there running around, and, you know, a lot of them, you know, you guys can't get on the right track, you can't do this, and I'm sitting here looking at my season ticket packet right now, and I guess either one of them can answer the question. What is the plan going forward for the next 2 or 3 years, and how are we going to address that? And before we send our ticket payment in, I guess, what gives us a nomenclature, that warm and fuzzy feeling as we approach this season? Looking at, to be honest with you, it was a pretty dismal offense, but I was happy with the defensive performance. We win games by 9. I think the one game we won, 9-6. That's asking a lot out of our defense. They're on the field the whole time, and I'd like to see a Blackman or Richardson with that number 4 pick to help surround Colt with some weapons. I appreciate the call, guys.
Well, thank you for your call, and we thank you for your support. First of all, you know, you have to tip your hat, even though there are fierce rivals, you have to kind of tip your hat at what Pittsburgh has been able to do in the last few years, and it's a fine organization. And we want to be up there and consider that as well. The Browns have a fine history, a fine tradition, a very proud tradition. And what Tom and I are trying to do now, again, is build the team solidly, foundationally, through the draft and with free agency, and continue to improve, okay, little by little, and keep our core players, our good players, here with us, and then making sound decisions in the draft. I'm very, very hopeful that we're doing that. I think we took a big step last year with our defense, and I think we have added a free agent on defense that'll help the defense. They're going to get better. We have a lot of room for improvement on offense. You were right when you said that, but I think we will do that. With an offseason under our belt, with the quarterback able to absorb a system and then staying in that system for an additional year, he is going to be better. The supporting cast around him is going to be better. And then I will say this, in our games last year, when we couldn't score very many points, all our division games were relatively close and could have gone, you could make a case they could have gone either way. Even the game that Colt was hurt in Pittsburgh, you know, we had the ball on the 5-yard line with 4 minutes to go. With a chance, had we scored a touchdown, we'd have gone ahead. We had chances against very, very fine football teams last year. If we can figure out a way to score some points, okay, we can do something within our division and next season within the league.
Star 3 is what you need to do. If you have a question for Mike Holmgren or Tom Heckert, we go to John, a 30-year season ticket holder from Lorain. John, go ahead. You have a question for Mike or Tom?
For either one. I've been a fan since 1964, season ticket holder for over 30 years, and it seems like the Browns in the past have avoided recruiting any talent from their own backyard. I'll give you an example. Jack Lambert out of Kent State went to Pittsburgh. Phil Villapiano, back in the early 70s, out of Bowling Green, went to Oakland. Roethlisberger and Harrison, both out of the Mid-Am, went to Pittsburgh. We took Kellen Winslow for $40 million when we could have had Antonio Gates out of Kent State for $250,000. Why is it the Browns seem to avoid taking talented people from their own backyard, even like a Pierre Garçon from Mount Union, and they always pick players from out of state, when if they tap into some of the local talent, I think they would have been better off over the last 40 years than some of the picks they've had. Do you have any plans to recruit out of the Mid-Am or out of Ohio State, or you just totally ignore those areas?
No, you know, this is Tom. No, we actually, you know, cover those areas obviously more than the other areas just because of the vicinity to our facility here. But, you know, this is our third year here, third draft, and, you know, hopefully we can get some players from the area. And actually in Philadelphia when I was there for 10 years, we did, you know, we drafted Brian Westbrook, who was a Villanova grad, which is right down the street. So we did make it a priority to do our due diligence on guys in the area. So no, we, you know, obviously the Ohio States and the Akrons and even all the MAC schools, the Toledos, the all the schools around here, we are very interested in their players. And you know, obviously the draft, it's you know, you only have a certain amount of picks, and but you know, if there's a player in the area, we'd love to have him be a Brown.
John, are you still there? If you got a sleeper for Tom, you could let him know now. Oh, okay, maybe call back with one. Let's go to Valerie from Geneva, a season ticket holder since 1989. Hi, Valerie. You're on with Tom and Mike. You have a question?
Hi, yes, I do. I am curious about the West Coast offense. I have to admit I'm not a real big fan of it. Are we going to stay with that strategy, or are we going to deviate a little bit, or is it going to depend on quarterback?
Well, Val, I'll take that one. Since how I was kind of weaned and grew up in the West Coast system when I was with the 49ers as a coach a long, long time ago. That is a term that came to be because of it was the offense the 49ers, San Francisco 49ers, ran when they went to all those Super Bowls with Joe Montana, and Bill Walsh kind of designed it. And what it really meant at that time was they removed some of the running plays out of necessity because they didn't have great running backs and inserted pass plays, short, control-type passing plays to substitute for the runs. That's really what it was, and to take advantage of the passing game a little bit more. Now, as it has evolved, and I took that into Green Bay and then Seattle. Andy Reid took it to Philadelphia. John Gruden, who worked for me, took it to Tampa. Steve Mariucci, who worked for me, took it all over. And it's evolved into different things as people have added their own style to it. We will stick with our system. You can call it the West Coast system, but I prefer to call it the Cleveland Browns system. And the big thing is learning the system. And I think in the second year of the system, you will see more productivity from the offense. We're not going to change it. You know, but it takes a little time to get good at it. And so if you can stick with your quarterback, and if you can stick with the system, and if you can stick with the coaches in your program, it works. You just have to trust me on that. It does work. Does that preclude us from throwing the ball deep? No. Does it stop you from doing anything that in your mind you think would be more exciting? No. It's all built into the system. But philosophically, it probably has a few more short passes than other systems.
Thank you, Valerie, for the call. We go now to Stephen from Youngstown, a 40-year season ticket holder. Stephen, go ahead. What's your question for Tom or Mike? Hello? Hello, Stephen.
Yes, there. Hello.
Go ahead, Stephen. You are on. You have a question for Tom or Mike.
Yes, my question basically is, as I look at the Browns' offense, it struggles all the time. And I guess as a longtime season ticket holder, especially several games when Colt McCoy seemed to get blitzed and didn't really recognize the blitz, my question is, would you not bring in Bernie Kosar, who I felt was one of the best cerebral quarterbacks in the NFL? He was able to pick up blitzes, and that's why he was so successful. Why wouldn't you bring him in to help Colt out?
Well, I don't disagree with you. I think Bernie was very, very good at that as a player. He was an outstanding player just right up front, and he did that. What happens, however, is that, first of all, we have really outstanding coaches here that are trying to teach a young quarterback a system. And did he miss a couple things last year? Sure, every quarterback does. But I think it was more the combination of not having an off season last year because of the lockout, putting in a new system and not having an offensive coordinator. I think you put all those things together, and it created a little bit of a problem for our offense last year. We have now we don't have those things to deal with, and quite honestly, we don't have any more excuses either. But those are real things that happen. So as much respect and admiration as I have for Bernie, we really have fine coaches on the staff right now, and they will do as good a job as anybody in preparing whoever plays quarterback for us, Colt or anybody else, to pick up those things that you thought he missed last year. So that's my hope, and that's my belief.
Thank you for the call. We go now to Tim, a season ticket holder since 1984. Tim, you are on. You have a question for Mike or Tom.
I do. Thanks so much for taking my call. I'm honored. Gentlemen, Mike, when you took over the Green Bay Packers, and first of all, Tom, it's great that you sound strong. Thank God thoughts and prayers have gone your way, buddy.
Oh, thank you.
Gentlemen, Mike, when you took over the Packers, I mean, the team was in disarray. There wasn't a lot of talent there. The fans were upset. They were a one-sport town, and I applaud you. With eight regular season games, they used to play their home games in two different towns.
Sure.
And with Cleveland, a three-sport town, Tom took over the Philadelphia Eagles. They were pretty weak. They drafted right after us in 99 with Donovan McNabb. I give you guys credit. I'm sorry you're putting up with what you're putting up with the media. I live 50 minutes from Pittsburgh. I live 2.5 hours from Cleveland. I go to every game every year. I have the utmost belief in what you're doing.
Tim, we appreciate you very much. And you, along with thousands and thousands of Browns fans that I have talked to since I've moved to Cleveland, are very much appreciated. I believe I have the best personnel director in football in Tom Heckert. I believe we have a system of football that should work if we get the players in here, and he's done a marvelous job of that so far. The hard part, as I've said before, is the long-suffering fans here have heard it before. But I think it is different now. I think we are bit by bit by bit, we're putting together a football team that will be able to compete and compete well. What we're not going to do is blow the thing up every 2 years and try something else. I think both Tom and I come from situations where we saw how it worked. Teams became successful after a kind of a dry spell, and we believe we can do that again here. And you know what? I understand the frustration. I really do. And I understand the media taking shots at us. I understand all that. It's part of what we do. But, we're going to stay the course. We're going to stay the course and make sure it happens here if we can do it.
Thank you for the call, Tim. We now have our poll question number 2. How would you rate the customer service you receive from the Browns Ticket Sales and Service Office? Press 1 for excellent, 2 for good, 3 for fair, 4 for poor. And that's how would you rate the customer service you received from the Browns Ticket Sales and Service Office. *3 is the way you can get on with a question for Tom or Mike. And our next question comes from Robert in Wheeling, West Virginia, 10-year season ticket holder. Robert, go ahead with your question for Tom Heckert or Mike Holmgren.
Thanks, guys, for doing this. And my question simply, what is Colt McCoy's ceiling? And do you believe that he can be the person to build a franchise around and be a long-term solution at quarterback? And, Tom, I too want to add good health to you and hope things continue to work out for you.
Well, thanks a lot on that note. But, we do think Colts is he has a big ceiling. And, you know, that's obviously my job to get him better players surrounding him. Just like we said, after the season where we have to protect him better. We have to be able to run the football, which we did at times last year. And I think if you look back at those games where we ran the football well, we protected well, Colt played very well. So, we do think Colt has the ability to play. I think he's proven that he can play in this league. Now, as he is, like Coach Holmgren said, another year in the system, we get him better players. I think he has a chance to be really good. And, we'll have to see what happens during the rest of the offseason. But, we expect our offense to be better next year, and that's our goal.
If you've not yet renewed your tickets, it's not too late to enroll in a payment plan. Press *0 to speak with a representative for more details. Gentlemen, we move now to Joe, a season ticket holder from Willowick since 1999. Joe, you are on with Coach Holmgren and Tom Heckert. Hello, Joseph. Go ahead, Joseph.
Yes, hello.
Yes, you're
Thank
on.
Thank you for hearing the question. And the question is this. I believe that we would have a much better offensive unit if we had gotten a little bit of depth in the offensive line, so that I hope to see the Browns draft a couple of good offensive linemen so we can block for, and that will really improve our running game, and also it'll help our quarterback McCoy out quite a bit. So hopefully we can do this, and I know it's a difficult assignment, but we're only as good. The depth that we have in the offensive line last season didn't look real good, and we need to really shore that area up. And so my question is, hopefully we can draft a couple of good offensive linemen.
Joe, this is Mike. You know what, you're right. I think when you're building an offense, you know, the quarterback is the most important person on the field, but he can't do anything without a good offensive line. You cannot run the ball without a good offensive line. I think Tom said it earlier, our young people in the offensive line, Laval and Pinkston, started every game at guard last year and, you know, on occasion took their lumps. But having continuity in the offensive line is hugely important. And it's been my experience that if you can stay together, the group can stay together, that means almost as much as just raw talent. But you know, we have that talent too, because we have an all-pro left tackle. We have an all-pro center. The position that really we have to kind of look at a little bit, because we've lost, you know, a right tackle, is that position. Now, we've signed some people there, and we think actually our depth is pretty good. But, we're looking hard at the draft and using some of our picks to take offensive linemen, because you need more of those guys than anybody else. So we hear you, and we agree with you.
We go now to Jimmy from Cleveland, season ticket holder for 34 years. Jimmy, you are on with Mike Holmgren and Tom Hecker. What is your question?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. And once again, same to sentiments of others to Tom Hecker, a healthy return. Good to see you back in the office.
Thank you.
My question is, I'm concerned with inactivity in free agency thus far in some areas that are certainly lacking in talent on our team, specifically wide receiver and right tackle. Our defensive backfield could all use some cheering up. Right cornerback, where the gentleman from Philadelphia follows you here, Mike. Tom. I'm just concerned. You know, for 34 years, I have watched this team, red, right, 88, to drive the fumble. I'm still with you, and I need to see some, like a sense of urgency in that front office that the fans of Cleveland deserve. We've been here for a while, and we it's time for us to see a winner now. I'm tired of hearing the jargon, wait till next year.
Well, we're with you. We're obviously not happy about the record the last 2 years since we've been here. To answer a few of your questions, secondary wise, we did re-sign Dimitri Patterson, so he will be back with us, and we think he's a fine young player that he can start when if he has to. He's a great nickelback for us. So we have Buster Screen, who we think is a very, very good young player who actually played quite a bit, due to injuries last year. So we think our secondary is going to be okay. We really do. To answer your, I think we've answered a little bit about the receiver's position, where there's only so many guys available, and not saying that we haven't tried to upgrade that position, and we will continue to do that. And through free agency, through the draft, through trade, whatever means, we are going to try to upgrade at all positions. And I think it's easier said than done at times, but we do know our deficiencies and where we need to address some of the needs, and we're going to try to do that.
Star 3 is the way you can get on with a question for Tom Hecker or Mike Holmgren. Mike, I know one of the things that the last caller said, use the word sense of urgency, that they want to see more of a sense of urgency from you and Tom. It's tough. How fast can you do that? The draft's not till for 6 weeks, but when you hear that, what is your feeling? How do you respond to that?
Well, I think we have exactly the same feelings as they do. We know a little bit more about the business side of it, and how sometimes you have to be a little patient, because you can't plug all the holes in the dike at the same time. And so you have X amount of dollars to spend because of the salary cap. You have a certain places you can draft. So you put all your weapons together, and just try and plug as many holes as you can. When you're building a program from scratch, and I'm saying we're building it from scratch, it does take some time. Now, but I said it earlier, I expect this team to take a pretty good jump this year. I mean, we've gone through some blood, sweat, and tears here the last couple years, and Pat's only been here 1 year as a head coach, so let's just say 1 year with him. But now it's time. Now it's time to start winning those close games. Now it's time to start scoring more points. Now it's time to getting fewer penalties. Now it's time to our experienced guys to be better. You know, so we're looking at the same thing. We have a great sense of urgency in the front office as well as our coaching staff, and that'll be conveyed to the players, and they do as well. It's just sometimes it takes a little time to get the foundation built so you can be considered a playoff-caliber team each year.
Star 3 is the way you can get on with a question for Mike Holmgren or Tom Heckert. We go now to Tom, a season ticket holder since 2005. Tom, go ahead with your question for Mike or Tom. Hello, Tom. Tom?
Hello?
Yes, Tom, you are on. Go ahead with your question.
Hello, guys. I was just wondering, I'm calling from Orlando, Florida, and have been a season ticket holder since actually 2005, and I come back for a lot of the games. And, you know, I grew up in that area, and I was wondering about running backs. I understand that we don't have Peyton Hillis anymore. I don't believe Brandon Jacobs or Montero are first-string, first-line running back. Are we going to address that? Do you guys have any ideas of bringing in a number one running back? Are there any rumors also, if you can talk about it, about Ben Tate coming up? We've heard about that down here also. So I was just wondering about that, and I hope that we can move things along a lot better. I've been a fan since I was a little kid, and I'm 55 now. So I'm kind of tired of making excuses to the Pittsburgh Steelers fans like everybody else. But, coming all the way up from Orlando, it gets expensive, and I do it, and I have fun doing it. But, I hope that we can move things along here in the next couple of years and really, really be a dominant force in our division, because it is a running back-driven division that we play in, in the type of weather that we play in all the time. So I'd like to hear the answer from either one of the gentlemen, if you could. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Tom. Tom Heckert, you talked a little bit about the running back core, that you feel pretty good about what you have, but the question is, are you looking for some more? What are your thoughts about that?
Well, we're just like any other position. We're always willing to upgrade the position, and we do think, obviously we like the backs we have, but are we always looking for a guy that's going to be the featured back? And if our guys can't do it, do we have another guy through free agency or the draft to fill that role, and we will be looking for that.
Robert, you're on with Mike Holmgren and Tom Heckert. Go ahead with your question.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thanks for hosting. At number four with respect to Richardson or Blackman, are you willing to consider focusing on trading the number 22 pick for a first-round pick in 2013 to begin putting together your ammunition for a package to get a true franchise quarterback? Or ask more generally, are you willing to wait until 2013 to get the Browns franchise quarterback?
Robert, this is Mike. I probably, we don't know exactly what we're going to do. The draft kind of falls to you. And as you approach number 22, right now our discussions on how we use the pick number 22 will be determined probably by who's available to us at 22. Now, Tom has a great feel for wheeling and dealing on draft day. And, I won't discount anything. I mean, we could trade back. We could trade up. We have some flexibility in this year's draft. I would caution everybody and talk about the idea of a franchise quarterback a little bit here. And I'm not going to, as I said, I'm not going to anoint anybody yet. But in fairness to the players we have on our team right now, Seneca Wallace and Colt McCoy, last year we didn't, our running game wasn't what it should be. We had kind of a young offensive line. Okay, Steinbeck got hurt. The quarterback got banged around a little bit. I think it's a little bit unfair to write those guys off right now, and I'm not willing to do that. So, and then the second part of that is you do all these wheeling and dealing with draft picks, say, in this year's draft, with the idea of packaging something to get a franchise quarterback in 2013. There are no guarantees that anybody's going to be available in 2013 or good enough, okay, to make that decision this year. My feeling is if we have the player that we want this year in this year's draft, we'll go ahead and take him. But as I said, I'm saying that, but my friend Tom Heckert's sitting right next to me, and he could wheel and deal just like he did last year.
You know, Tom, or Mike, just to kind of follow up the question about the quarterback position, it's always the preeminent question. I know when you arrived, you talked about defining that guy and then getting behind them. And as you just said, you know, you want to give Colt and Seneca a chance, but obviously you're still in that mode to really find that quote guy. Is it one of those two or going forward, or can you go out elsewhere and find that quarterback to run the show?
Well, that's the question that every team in this league tries to answer for themselves. Some of the teams have already answered it, but it's not that easy to answer. You know, sometimes it takes a little time, it takes a little bit of luck, and it also takes a commitment by the club and, of course, the player to stick with each other for a while. I said that, Mike, and what I meant was as a coach, and you bring in a young quarterback or any quarterback, and all of a sudden you think he's made of the right stuff, even though he's making young mistakes and doing things, then you stick with him. He has to know that you're with him to be most effective and to reach his potential. And that's the nature of the business. And very few guys can come in and you can just identify him right off the bat by saying, you know, he's the next John Elway. He's the next Dan Marino. Usually you don't do that. Tom Brady was drafted in the sixth round.
That's true. Yes.
And, you know, and there are a number of stories like that. So it's not always the easiest thing to do. But what you said was absolutely correct. The organization and the coach, whoever your quarterback is, you have to commit all in. It has to be all in to help that young man be successful. Otherwise, you have no chance. It doesn't work.
If you've not yet renewed your tickets, it's not too late to enroll in a payment plan. Please press *0, and you can speak with a representative for more details. *3 to ask questions of Mike Holmgren or Tom Heckert. We go to Tim, a season ticket holder since 89. Tim, you are on with Mike Holmgren and Tom Heckert. Go ahead.
How you guys doing today?
Good,
Thank
Tim.
You for taking our calls. Question's actually for Mike. At the beginning of the call, you indicate that, you know, people in the organization have been put on notice. You absolutely have to take that next step. I just want to know, can you define that? I mean, is it from a competitive, is it record-based? I know you kind of touched on that earlier, saying, you know, the penalties, the scoring. I mean, as a season ticket holder, I mean, I think speak for everyone, it's for us anyways, it's coming down to wins. So can you define that? And if so, how many wins are you looking at?
Well, Tim, I appreciate the call, first of all. Thank you. And then I'm not going to give you a number of wins, but yes, wins play a big part in it. Look, it's a bottom-line business. And if I think that we should win more games and our record should be better, then there's a problem. I mean, I've also been at this long enough to know when it's really perhaps no one's fault, you just got a little unlucky. An example, last year we had a game, I think one, and our snapper hit the guy next to him in the leg with the ball. Otherwise, we could kick a PAT, we win the game. That usually doesn't happen. So while I was disappointed and very, 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 very upset about it, who do I blame? I mean, I can't. It's not Pat Shurmur's fault, you know. I mean, it's so. But those types of things shouldn't happen again, and so that's why I have hope, and I have talked to. When I say put them on notice, I've just given this speech to the coaches, to the players, so everyone knows what I'm thinking. Anyway, that's the fairest way to do it, I think, and what my expectations are. Now, again, I'm not coaching anymore, but those are my expectations. And then the guys, I don't think it'll make anybody work any harder, but I think it's important for them to know how I feel.
If you have any questions about your account, you can press *0 and be connected to a Browns guest relations representative. You can do that right now. We go now to John, a season ticket holder since 1987. John, you're on with Mike Holmgren and Tom Heckert. Go ahead with your question. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. My question is a bit similar to the previous one. I'm sitting here looking at a bill for $5,044, and I come to every game from New York. On an average year, I spend about $15,000 watching the Browns. For my whole lifetime, I've dedicated all the time and money I could to the Browns, and frankly, I'm running out of time. I know you wouldn't commit to a number of wins, but I don't know how else you can actually gauge progress. Going from 4-12 to 6-10 to me isn't really progress, and I really need some good direction here as to why I should sign this check. Thanks,
John. This is Mike. I agree with you. I mean, I told you I wouldn't give you. I told the previous caller I wasn't going to single out an exact number of wins. But I would agree with your statement. Going from 4-12 to 6-10 isn't good enough, and that's been conveyed. And I believe we are going to be better than that. In fact, I would, we're going to be a lot better than that. So I don't know what I can tell you to. You've been a longtime fan. Obviously, you're a great fan. You're a long-suffering fan. And I guess what I'd ask you to do is just hang in there a little longer. I'm not getting any younger either. You know, so I'm looking at this. I'm looking at this very, very similar fashion as you are.
We go now to Randy, a season ticket holder since 1999. Randy, go ahead with your question for Mike or Tom.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the call today, and thanks for giving us this opportunity. My question is, Mike, I heard you say, you know, that the quarterback is the most important position. Obviously, I agree. And, you know, I watched Colt McCoy and it's just, I'm not Tom Heckert, I'm not Mike Holmgren, but it's as a fan, I personally feel that he's got limitations in his arm strength in terms of trying to make the types of throws. You got to fit in those tight windows, and he's limited physically. But here's my question. You know, regardless of where people sit on that side of the fence, I know you guys made a major attempt to move up to get that number two pick, and I was, again, regardless where people reside on that, I was very hopeful of you guys getting that pick, obviously of trying to get an RJ3, who is a franchise type player, potentially, of which I believe if you look predominantly, the successful Super Bowl type teams have a franchise quarterback. So that being said, I guess just trying to feel comfortable with where things, you know, I realize we weren't able to win in that attempt, but a lot of reports, local and nationally, you know, in terms of was the attempt aggressive enough? Did you guys play a game of hardball or poker, and did somebody else kind of come in and sweep the rug out from yonder? I guess, you know, what can you tell us in terms of, you know, what happened there so we can, you know, again, as season ticket holders, we can feel comfortable that, you know, the right things were done in trying to get that pick?
Well, I appreciate the call very much, and I appreciate your being a tremendous fan. In that particular instance, yes, we were involved in that. Most of the stories that I have seen, quite honestly, all the stories I have seen were incorrect in what our offer was when we entered the process and how we went about it. I will just tell you that. I'm not going to tell you exactly what we offered, but our deal, I will say what we had offered for the pick was every bit the offer that was chosen. But, you know, honestly, when it didn't happen, I think there are reasons that I can't go into right now why it didn't happen, but there's a very close relationship, you know, between the people that are involved in getting the deal done and the people eventually got it done. And I'm not sure if any offer we made at the end of the day was going to be quite good enough. Certain teams in the league are willing to really be kind of out there in what they offer. Because different teams are in different situations, large market, small market, whatever you call it. But we, in that particular deal, we were very, very aggressive, and you know, it didn't work. Now, So then you have to ask yourself the question, okay, now what happens? I mean, you take your ball and go home? No. You go to the next step. The next step is the draft picks that we were going to use to move up there, now we have again. So the plan, the other plan we had talked about was to use those draft picks to make our football team better immediately this year, to get starters with those draft picks at other positions this year, and to help our quarterbacks who are now existing on the team or anybody else who would come onto the team better, because we've surrounded that position with better players. And that's what we're doing. So time will only tell. Unfortunately, the draft, I've always said, you don't really know what kind of a draft you have for about 3 or 4 years. And so time will tell what happened and for all the teams involved in that deal. But rest assured, we're involved in that. It didn't happen. We didn't fold up our tent, and now we roll it. Now we're going on to what we have to do based on the fact we didn't get that done.
3 first-round draft picks for RG3 was too much, I think. I see the draft as a crapshoot. You don't know. He could be a Tom or a Matt Leinart. He could be a Manning. That's too much to spend on too high a draft pick. The other thing is the season ticket holders talking about Pittsburgh fans. Pittsburgh fans are, it's easy to be a Pittsburgh fan, number one. Number two, you're a Browns fan, to the bone. It's our team. I was born a Browns fan. I'll be a Browns fan till I die.
There you go.
The way I see it, the number of championship games or championships, I believe we're even. If you count them right back, American Football Conference to the beginning of football, the very beginning of the Browns, the Steelers fans think that it's not a Super Bowl ring. It's not a championship.
All right,
I don't buy that.
I hear you.
You know what I'm...
Okay, Doug.
Pardon me?
Yes, it's time, but it's time to get a new one, though, right? 64 is a long time ago, right?
That's absolutely correct. Thanks for hosting this keep up the good work.
Thanks, Doug.
And we have one more call today, and we appreciate all of you who have participated with questions or comments today. This is from Bob, and Coach, he's calling from Anchorage, Alaska. Go ahead, Bob. You're on with Mike Holmgren and Tom Eckert.
Yeah, I was the question's for whoever. I was wondering on Phil Dawson, with putting the tag on him the last 2 years, him being our leading scorer last year, and is there going to be a real, real effort to get a deal done with this guy? I mean, his jersey needs to be retired in that stadium for the hell he's been through since 99.
Well, yeah, we're with you, and we tried to get a long-term deal done with him last year, and we've actually tried to get a long-term deal done with him already this year. So hopefully we can continue to talk with his agent, and before the season starts, we will be able to do that. But that's our goal, is to try to get him done long-term so he can end his career here.
Well, Mike and Tom, this has been, I think, a very good hour. Anything you'd like to wrap it up with, Mike Holmgren?
No, I just say I want to thank the fans. One fellow said that Cleveland Brown fans are Cleveland Brown fans to the bone, and I have experienced that. I've learned that. I know that. And I just want to, again, tell them that Tom and I and Pat and the coaches, everybody in this organization is committed to getting this done for them. And, it's hard to be patient, and it's hard to go through some of this stuff. But I believe we're on the right track. I really do, Mike.
Mike, good luck. Tom, all the best here. Good to see you, and we'll let you get back to work. This is a pretty busy time, isn't it?
That's right. Well, thanks for having us.
Mike, thank you very much. And Browns fans, while you're online, you have an option. You can leave the Browns a message. They'd like to thank all you season ticket holders, club-level members, and suite members who participated today, whether you called or just listened. And don't forget the annual draft party at Cleveland Browns Stadium Thursday, April 26th. It is going to be a big night. From Browns headquarters, have a good evening.